This episode of The Y-Files is brought to you by Opera. Fishing in the Misconicon River, Brian Richter stopped mid-cast. Something was wrong. The birds stopped singing. Insects stopped buzzing. The forest was suddenly quiet. Too quiet. Then he felt it. Eyes on his back. Someone or something was watching him. Brian turned slowly. At first, he saw nothing. Then movement caught his eye. Between the trees stood something impossible. 7 feet tall, at least. Long, thin limbs. A triangular head with large black eyes. Brian thought it looked like an insect, but it would be the biggest insect he'd ever seen, and it was staring right at him. Brian froze. Then something strange happened. He felt the creature in his mind, reading his thoughts. Somehow he knew this creature was intelligent. Then the being became transparent and faded away. It didn't move, it just vanished. The forest remained silent. Brian quickly packed his gear. It was time to go. He couldn't see it, but he knew the creature was still there, somewhere. And there were more of them. A lot more.
My authority. I know about your authority, but the screen stay up.
Yeah, human. That Neptune you answered. I got a publishing emergency.
Can we make this quick? This is the best part.
Got a first draft of my memoirs due tomorrow, but I'm not done researching it yet.
Memoir?
It's an account of one's personal life and experience.
I know what a memoir is.
Well, mine is called My Life as the World's Most Important Goldfish. I know it's going to be a hit, but my editor's breathing down my gills.
Who is going to publish this?
Simon & Schuster. They even gave me a 5-gallon advance.
5 gallons of...
vodka.
Right. So, what's the problem?
I'm trying to research this thing, and I got a zillion tabs open. My browser's a mess. I got tabs open fact-checking that long weekend in Tijuana that I hardly remember. I got tabs open for how to grow blorpus. I got tabs open with all the emails from my ex-wives. And I got a bunch of camel tabs, but those are just for me.
That's a lot of tabs.
I got tabs up the wazoo.
You need to try Opera. It's the perfect browser for multitasking.
Oh, you just set a sponsor trap and I walked right into it, huh?
You betcha. With Opera's tab traces, you can keep track of recently visited tabs thanks to a subtle underline. The darker the underscore, the more recent the tab. Or use tab islands. Group related tabs together based on your browsing session. Collapse what you don't need and focus on what matters. And Opera's split screen lets you view two tabs side by side in the same browser window. Compare documents, stream while chatting, or multitask without juggling windows. If you prefer a little music while you work, Opera's floating music player lets you play or skip songs without interrupting your browsing. Pop it out and move it anywhere, even outside the browser. And if you're really looking to streamline your workflow, the integrated AI tool Aria enhances your browsing with the command line Control/ or Command/ to ask questions, generate images based on a single prompt, or analyze images. No extra tabs needed. You can even customize your browser with themes. Choose presets like Aurora or Midsummer, or create your own unique look. Click the link in the description to download and upgrade your browsing experience today.
Yeah, this is perfect. I'll get organized and my memoir will be finished on time. Hang on, that's my editor. Hey, Janice. Oh, yeah, he said he'd do it. Uh-huh. Yeah, my best to Kendall and the girls. Okay, ciao. So, human, I need a little weensy teensy little weenie favor.
Wait, what now?
You're gonna write the foreword to my memoir.
No, I don't have time to...
I think you should focus on how without me you'd be just another hack YouTuber. We're thinking 3,500 to 4,000 words. Does that work?
Fine. When is it due?
Tomorrow.
There's no way...
No!
The Misconicon River begins at Lake Hopatcong in northern New Jersey. It winds 45 miles through the Appalachian Mountains until it empties into the Delaware. The river looks ordinary, but locals know better. For years, people living around the Misconicon River have reported strange encounters. Mothman, Sasquatch, UFOs, ghost lights, and all kinds of unexplained phenomena. And then there's the Mantis Man. The first documented Mantis Man sighting came in 2006. Paul Jacks was fly fishing when he felt the strange vibration in his right ear. He turned and saw something standing on the bank. not an animal, not a person, a 7-foot-tall mantis-like creature watching him.
I was just high in the river. The first thing I saw was this grasshopper thigh, but bending forward like a human, then the whole form. It was looking at me over its shoulder, moving up the bank, astonished, amazed.
The creature had a triangular head, massive black eyes, and a gangly body just like a praying mantis. But this wasn't just a large insect. It had humanoid features, a thinking being. When Paul locked eyes with it, he sensed the mantis was surprised he could see it. The creature turned, started walking, then simply vanished. Paul didn't think it slipped into another dimension. He believed it was cloaked, accidentally visible for just those few seconds. Paul stayed quiet about his encounter for years. Then he learned he wasn't alone. In 2011, Joe Parenti was fishing with his brother when he heard humming and felt tingling throughout his body. He turned to find a 7-foot-tall, dark brown humanoid mantis staring down at him. The being had visible mandibles moving up and down like it was eating something. Joe froze with fear as he locked eyes with the creature. Then Joe felt the mantis pulling information from his mind telepathically, not just reading thoughts, extracting memories, learning his fears, his hopes, learning everything. Then a thick fog rolled in. The mantis spread its arms and extended a huge set of wings, a display of power. Then it vanished into the mist. Joe collapsed, overwhelmed with fear. In 2014, a driver crossing a bridge over the Misconicon saw a dark figure in the river. He slowed down for a closer look. It was brown, nearly 8 feet tall, with thin arms. And before he could process what he was seeing, the being became transparent and disappeared. There were lots of other sightings too, but most were from a distance. But Paul Jackson and Joe Parenti saw the mantis man up close. Both described the same creature in the same location. Neither knew about the other's encounter, yet their stories match exactly. First, you hear humming. Then you feel a vibration. The forest goes silent. Then you start to feel strange. You might not see it, but a mantis is close. It can manipulate your perception, paralyze your body. And once you're powerless to resist, it can penetrate your mind. When a mantis man appears, it changes everything around it. The forest goes quiet, electronics malfunction, time seems to slow down. But the most disturbing effect happens inside your mind. Lon Strickler, a paranormal researcher, has documented dozens of mantis man encounters since 2006. The physical and psychological effects on witnesses follow a consistent pattern. First comes the humming, a low vibration felt more than heard, then a strange tingling sensation spreads throughout the body. Many witnesses report feeling their hair standing on end, like static electricity building up all around them. Then something is in your mind.
It wasn't just that I could see it. I could feel it looking into me. Not at me, into me. It knew things about me I'd never told anyone. Memories from when I was a kid. Things I was afraid of. I didn't hear words exactly, but I understood what it wanted.
This telepathic intrusion is reported by nearly all witnesses who get within 20 yards of a mantis entity. The creature seems capable of extracting information directly from human minds. Some witnesses describe it as having your brain scanned or someone flipping through the pages of your thoughts. This effect isn't always threatening. Several witnesses report feeling a strange calm during the encounter, a sense of communication, understanding. But this feeling vanishes when the creature does. The feeling of calm is quickly replaced by confusion and fear. Electronic devices often malfunction during these encounters. Cameras stop working. Cell phones die. Watches run backward. One fisherman's battery-powered depth finder exploded moments before a man disappeared beside his boat. And there may be a scientific explanation for these events. The Musconicon River runs near several fault systems. Some researchers suggest that fault lines can create unusual electromagnetic fields. NASA calls them X-points, or electron diffusion regions. At these locations, the Earth's magnetic field connects with the sun's magnetic field, creating a temporary portal where charged particles can flow between the two. The Musconicon River might be more than just a spooky fishing spot. It might be a doorway, and something intelligent and powerful lives on the other side. According to witness reports, there are dozens of different alien species living on Earth. They are aware of each other. Some are allies, some are enemies. But they all exist in a complex hierarchy, a pyramid of power. At the top of the pyramid is a species more powerful than all the rest. The Mantis entities are not here to visit. They are not here to observe. The Mantis are here to rule. The Mantis beings aren't just appearing on riverbanks in New Jersey. They're showing up in people's cars, in remote cabins, in their bedrooms. And those people are being taken. You might remember the episode I did on the Terry Lovelace abduction story. I'll link to it below, but here's a quick recap. Terry and a friend went camping at Devil's Den State Park in Arkansas. In the middle of the night, they were taken aboard a spacecraft. Inside, Terry was paralyzed but awake and strapped to a medical table. On the ship, he saw several different types of aliens. The typical small gray aliens were there, but they weren't in charge. They worked for the Mantis.
There was a mantis-like being with a triangular head and huge slanted black eyes. It had an insect-type mouth. I was screaming. It turned and got close to my head, and I could hear him clearly in my mind like any spoken word. He was annoyed. He said, "Why are you screaming? Stop screaming. You know we don't hurt you. We take you back. Stop screaming."
Terry's experience isn't unique. In thousands of documented alien abduction cases from all over the world, mantis-like entities appear again and again. They're described as 7 to 8 feet tall with triangular heads. They have large black eyes and thin insect-like bodies covered in an exoskeleton. Abductees consistently report that these mantis beings seem to be in positions of authority. Whitley Strieber, author of Communion, described mantis beings as engineers or scientists who directed smaller gray aliens, just like Terry Lovelace claimed. Other abductees describe them as doctors or officers who oversee medical procedures and genetic sampling. The stories are consistent. People who have never met from different cultures, countries, and backgrounds describe the same beings with the same temperament and same role. They're cold, calculating, intelligent, and efficient. They communicate telepathically. They can control human movement with a gesture. They appear to be studying us. They've been watching us for a long, long time. Dr. John Mack was a Harvard psychiatrist and Pulitzer Prize-winning author. In 1995, he published research on alien abduction cases. He found that patients with no history of mental illness were reporting nearly identical encounters with these beings. The descriptions were too similar to dismiss. Early cave paintings, like those found in the Algerian Sahara dating back 8,000 years, show mantis-headed figures. The Khoisan tribe of Africa has depicted mantis-like beings in their rock art for thousands of years. Whatever these entities are, they've been watching us for a very long time. And according to people who've encountered them, the mantis aren't just passive observers. They have an agenda, a plan they've been working on for centuries. The petroglyphs in Iran, the rock art in Africa, Native American legends, the symbols in Egypt, they all tell the same story. A story about visitors from the stars who shaped human history from the very beginning. The story of mantis beings observing humanity isn't new. It's one of the oldest stories in the world. So old, it's written in stone. In 2018, researchers in Iran discovered a remarkable petroglyph carved into a rock at Tamara. It shows a six-limbed figure with a triangular head. Entomologists believe it depicts a praying mantis. Archaeologists dated it between 4,000 and 40,000 years old. The figure has a humanoid quality, not quite insect, not quite person. It's both. And this isn't the only ancient mantis depiction. San people in southern Africa have portrayed mantis-headed figures in their rock art for thousands of years. To them, the mantis is a creator god who helped shape the world. Dr. Roger Miller, an anthropologist who specializes in prehistoric art, notes a pattern.
These mantis figures appear in isolated cultures that had no contact with each other. The San people of Africa, ancient Mesopotamians, and even early Egyptian texts all depict similar beings. The question isn't whether these cultures saw something. The question is, what exactly were they seeing?
The ancient Egyptians depicted mantis-like entities in the Book of the Dead. They served as underworld guides who led souls to judgment. These beings are consistently portrayed not as animals or insects, but as intelligent entities with power and purpose. Even the word mantis reveals something interesting. It comes from the ancient Greek word mantis, meaning prophet or seer, someone who could see things others can't. In Native American traditions, especially tribes in the Southwest, there are stories of insect-like beings who came from the sky. The Hopi speak of Kachina spirits, some depicted with mantis-like features. They served as messengers between humans and the gods. Modern encounters with mantis entities share striking similarities with these ancient stories. The beings are described as emotionless, highly intelligent, and possessing abilities beyond human comprehension. They communicate without speaking. They appear and disappear at will. The consistency across time and cultures suggests something more than a coincidence. Either humans across the globe independently invented the same fictional entity with the same physical characteristics and behavior, or these beings have been on Earth for thousands of years. Ancient astronaut theorists believe these depictions are evidence of contact with an advanced extraterrestrial race. Skeptics argue they're simply cultural interpretations of an insect that already looks somewhat humanoid. But neither explanation fully covers the modern encounters that continue to this day. Whatever these beings are, they've been watching us since the dawn of civilization, and they're still watching now. But there's a theory that's even more disturbing than the ancient astronaut theory. What if these beings didn't come from another planet? What if they're an ancient species with technology so advanced they can slip between dimensions? If that's true, then this isn't a story about abduction or visitation. This is a story of evolution. What if millions of years ago, a species of insect went underground, hidden from the dinosaurs? Deep below the surface, they evolved. Their brains developed neural networks like ours, but millions of years earlier. They mastered atomic manipulation, cloaking, teleportation, technologies we can't comprehend. Those highly evolved insects don't just observe us. They collect specimens, extract DNA. They're comparing our evolutionary path to theirs, learning what makes us different, our emotions, our creativity, our unpredictability. Things their hive mind doesn't understand. That's one theory of the mantis entities. But is it true? Could the mantis man have evolved on Earth? Probably not. The largest insect that ever lived was the Meganeuropsis, a dragonfly with a 2.5-foot wingspan from 300 million years ago. Insects were bigger then because the Earth's atmosphere was 35% oxygen. Today it's only 21%. Insects breathe through spiracles, small holes in their exoskeleton. This system works for small animals, but fails on larger ones. A 7-foot mantis would suffocate under its own weight. Its exoskeleton would be too heavy to move. So if not an evolved Earth insect, what are they? Another theory is they're interdimensional beings. And interdimensional doesn't mean aliens from another planet. It means beings from here, just in another layer of reality. We perceive four dimensions, height, width, depth, and time. Theoretical physics says there could be more dimensions, 10, 11, 12. Nobody knows for sure. But scientists at CERN's Large Hadron Collider are actively searching for evidence of extra dimensions. If these dimensions were folded into subatomic space, advanced beings could move sideways through reality, like flipping pages through a book. Each page exists simultaneously, but we only see one page at a time. They see the entire book. This might explain why they appear and disappear so suddenly. They're not breaking the laws of physics. They're using laws we don't understand yet. Another theory, the mantis beings are extraterrestrial. If an advanced species evolved on a planet with lower gravity, a different atmosphere, they might develop insect-like characteristics. The telepathic and cloaking abilities could be technology so advanced it appears supernatural to us. And some researchers claim the mantis beings are using cloaking technology similar to what our military is developing, or the military is trying to reverse engineer mantis technology. There's no hard evidence for any of those theories. So how do we explain the consistency of reports? The specific details, the vibration, the humming, the mental intrusion, always repeated across witnesses who never met. That can't be a coincidence. And it probably isn't. Mantis man encounters sound a lot like sleep paralysis. You're supposed to be asleep when paralysis sets in, but once in a while, you'll still be awake. And if you don't know what's happening, it can be terrifying. You will hear buzzing, you'll feel vibrations, and hear voices in your head. You might also see shadow figures, and I covered a lot of this in our Shadow People episode, link below. But most mantis sightings happen when witnesses are fully awake and active, often outdoors, standing in a river. That's not sleep paralysis. So are mantis humanoids real? Well, that depends on you. If you need hard evidence, then no, they're not real. But if you believe the witnesses, then something might be out there, something that defies easy explanation. I expected to easily debunk this story. I couldn't. I also found no definitive proof. The honest answer is, we don't know. Throughout human history, we've depicted these mantis beings in art and stories. They've been gods, guides, messengers, and observers. Not quite human, not quite alien. They exist in the liminal, the space in between the known and the unknown. That's a space we can't reach, and probably never will. We'll never catalog every species. We'll never fully map the Earth and the bottom of the sea. We will never know everything, and that uncertainty can be terrifying, or it can be comforting. It depends on your point of view. I choose the latter. Now, though I'm skeptical of the mantis man, I can tell you one thing for sure. You'll never catch me fishing in a river in New Jersey. Thanks for listening or watching The Y-Files Stripped, where I try to get right to the point, right to the story, and then right to the truth. But if you want me to expand this into a longer episode with Hecklefish, let me know. Like most topics we cover in The Y-Files, today's is recommended by you. So if there's a story you'd like to see or learn more about, go to theyfiles.com/tips. If you're watching on YouTube or other video platforms, remember, The Y-Files is also a podcast. In fact, Stripped episodes are designed to be podcasts, where we try to use as much sound and music as we can to immerse you in the story, and without interruptions from you-know-who. But if you're listening on a podcast platform, keep in mind there is a video version that contains some images we talked about here and other fun visuals. You're not missing any of the story, but the video is there if you'd like to see more. And if you need more Y-Files in your life, check out our Discord. There are thousands of people on there 24/7, and they're into the same weird stuff we are. It's a great community, it's really supportive, it's a lot of fun, and it's free to join. Special thanks to our patrons who make the Y-Files possible. Every episode, every podcast, every live stream, everything I do is dedicated to our Patreon members. I could not do this without your support, so thank you. And if you'd like to support the channel, keep us going, and join this incredible community, consider becoming a member on Patreon. For as little as $3 a month, you get access to perks like videos and podcasts early with no commercials. You get access to merch only available to members. Plus, you get 2 private live streams every week just for you. And the whole Y-Files team is on the stream, and you're welcome to turn on your webcam, ask a question, tell a joke, suggest a topic, chat about anything you want. In fact, I'm rushing through this because I'm going to be late for a Patreon live stream. Anyway, I think it's the best perk there is. Another great way to support the channel is grab something from the Y-Files store. And I do everything I can to keep the prices as low as possible. So no $30, $35 t-shirts or nonsense like that. Plus, if you become a member on YouTube for $3, you get 10% off everything in the Y-Files store forever. And if you want to join for 1 month just to get the coupon code and then cancel, that's totally fine. The YouTube membership is meant to save you money, not make me money. In fact, every dollar from YouTube memberships goes to my team. Those are the plugs. There's lots of them, and there's more every week. Sorry about that, but I hope you had fun, and I hope you know that me and everyone here at the Y-Files is working really hard for you. So until next time, be safe, be kind, and know that you are appreciated.
Oh, you thought I was gone, huh? Think again!